Pastor, thank you for giving me time to preach. I'll try to preach tonight. Is it on? Oh, it goes off. I'm sorry. Now I'm on. I have a pastor friend from Singapore. He used to be the manager of Yamaha, a group of companies in Southeast Asia. God called him to be the pastor. He left his work. He's a full-time pastor in Singapore, Bible Baptist Church, Singapore. And he's a Singaporean Chinese. And he told us, if Adam and Eve were Chinese, when the snake told them to eat the fruit, they will not eat the fruit. They will eat the snake. Oh, China man. If that snake tell them eat the fruit, they will not eat the fruit. They'll eat the snake. They'll eat the snake. First Kings chapter number 17, please. Then he tells that story about when Bill Clinton was the president of the United States, he was to go on an official trip to China. So they had to get the protocol officer. Some of those Chinese hierarchy, they don't know how to speak English. So they had to teach them. He had to take a month to teach them. And that protocol officer was teaching them. He said, when you talk to an American, you say, how are you? And every time when you ask him, how are you? They're going to reply and they will say, I'm fine. You must say, me too. So he had to teach them, how are you? Me too. How are you? Me too. They had to memorize that. So when the day came for the president to arrive, they were already at the airport. There was a red carpet on the tarmac. Everything was set. People were on the side, the American flag, the Chinese flag, they were waving. They were waiting for Air Force One to land. For security reasons, the plane did not arrive on time. It came 30 minutes late. These people are already at the airport. When Air Force One landed, the doors opened, they had a stairway, the president came out, he waved at everyone. Everyone was waving the American flag and the Chinese flag. He walks down the stairway. He comes down to the first man who knows how to speak English, and he shook hands with him, took a moment to say something, then he went to the second, third, the fourth. The fifth was the first of those who don't know how to speak English. They were already at the tarmac half an hour ago, and he looked at the president. When you're looking at someone, you get nervous. So he looked at the president. He was nervous, and he wanted to say, how are you? He forgot how to say, how are you? He looked at the president, and he said, who are you? So the president went closer to that man and told him, I am Hillary Clinton's husband. And that man looked at him and said, me too. Oh, man. And that Chinaman makes a lot of stories. You go every around the world, you got to know how to communicate. If you don't know how to communicate, you're going to confuse everything. First Kings chapter number 17. First Kings chapter 17. Verse 1 through 16. The Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded the widow, a widow woman, there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this evening. Thank you for those who've come this evening. And Lord, help me to preach the word you have laid on my heart tonight to preach. And I just commit this time and everything to your hands now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a missionary that was on the mission field. His church stopped supporting him. And the missionary was going through a hard time because there was no support coming. And when he was going through that stress, his wife got very, very sick. He needed money for the medical expense. He had no money. That little savings he had, he tried his best, tried to help to get medical supply for his wife. And everything he had was gone. He took his furniture from the house, his table, his chairs. He sold everything he had to get money enough so that he can help his wife. But his wife died. He was left with nothing. He was thinking, how can I go back? He was walking around that little town. One of the businessmen saw him. He said, Hey, missionary, I see you have a problem. And he said, Yes, sir, I have a problem. I'm trying to go back home, but I don't have the money to go back home. And that businessman said, I'll help you. I'll try to get you tickets for you to fly back home. Well, he helped that man. That man came. That when he arrived, he came to his hometown. That Sunday morning, he went to church. He's coming into the church with same clothes he had. He had nothing. He comes over, he sits right in the middle. They had a missions conference in his church. The auditorium was filled with people. The pastor went up, was getting ready to preach. And he looked around and said, Do we have a missionary in the auditorium today? Do we have a missionary that can share a 5 minutes testimony before I preach? The preacher walks over. He looked at him and he said, I recognize you are a missionary. Can you say something about 5 minutes about the mission field? And that man walks up all the way up to the podium, comes over, stands behind the pulpit. He had nothing to say. He looked at the people. He told them, Someone let the rope go. Someone let the rope go. And he walked out. Slowly went back. The church was very, very quiet. The pastor stood there, was thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to preach? when he thought about what the missionary said, someone let the rope go. Every time when you support a missionary, you're holding onto that rope, the rope of support, the rope of prayer. You don't know what's going through the life of that missionary and his family. Right up in a place, away from their home. Some of them are in isolated places where there is no road. The suffering, the problems they're going through, you're holding onto that rope. But when you let that rope go, it's going to affect someone out there. Someone's going to get into a burden. Someone's going to go into a situation. Sometimes you cannot express the pain they're going to go through. It's important to hold onto that rope. Tonight I'm going to preach about go and do as thou hast said. 1 Kings 17, verse number 13, Elisha said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Go and do as thou hast said. You said it, go and do what you said. What if I do not do what I have said to do? If I tell someone I'm going to do this, but if I don't do what I've told that person to do, what's going to happen? We see a lady here. The Bible talks about that widow. A little meal, a little oil, 2 sticks of wood she had. The challenge was there. But that challenge was given to the man of God when this woman told her that this is our last meal. My child and myself, we're gonna prepare that meal. We're going to eat. We're going to die. There was no choice. She was going to die even after eating that meal. That was her last meal. But she was going to believe what the man of God was saying. She knew that this man, the man of God, was talking to her. And she had a choice. Will she obey what the man of God was saying? Or will she reject what the man of God was saying? She had a choice. She would have said, hey, I'm a widow. I don't have much. Why don't you go to the other people, other person, and ask them for food? Maybe they have surplus. Maybe they have a lot of things. And they can give you something to eat, not me. I have only little for myself and my son. Yeah. But that lady, that widow, had a choice to believe what the man of God was saying. She did not want to waste that opportunity. Live life or die was still the same for her. And she had to use what she had. The rest is history. The rest is her story. What do you have today? Many times we want to think about what we do not have. And we think that that little I have is not enough. Well, that widow should have said that. The little I have is not much. What can I do with this little? See, that is exactly what God wants, that little. So that God can take that little and God can make something out of that little. Every time I encourage our people, God is not asking for much. God is asking for that little you have, that little you have. And that little, when you give it to God, God takes that little and God makes a miracle out of that little and God gets the glory and honor. What do you have? What if I said I will do it? And if I don't do it, if I don't do my part, if I fail my part, oh, it's going to be risky. Folks, opportunity comes once sometimes.
That's right.
You do it or you do it not.
That's right.
Every time I go around America, I'm giving gospel tract to people, I talk to them. When I was in Alabama, my family, myself, we spent about a year. And every Saturday, we go out knocking on doors. First thing people see me, they say, where are you from? I'm from Papua New Guinea, not of Australia. I use that to communicate, and then I witness to them. I look at the people and I tell them, you are in a country, you are privileged. You have the freedom. They're stretched everywhere. Many times people take it for granted. They don't see the importance. I tell them, if you die as an American and go to hell, you're going to regret because you had freedom. Yeah. Some ways, in some other countries, they don't have the freedom you have. They don't enjoy the freedom you have. And we take it for granted here in America. And I try to encourage them. I say, on your money this week, and in God we trust.
Yeah.
You see that every time. You see the bill every time. In God we trust. You're reminded with your money that there is a God.
Yeah.
And people become so educated that they want to say, there is no God. I told them a story about that primitive, that tribe from a remote place in Africa. That missionary went over to preach to them. And the missionary told them, there is a God that created the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything. And the chief looked at the missionary and said, wait, hang on, missionary. My father's father's father, they ask this question. The sun goes all the way into the sea. Someone has to bring that sun back again and put it there and for it to travel again all the way down. You tell me God? Now I know there is a God that can take the sun from here and bring it all the way into the sea and the next day bring it up again here and bring it all the way up. Simple, primitive people understand there is a God when educated people think they're smart and there is no God.
That's
right. Yeah. Folks, it's important tonight. Do as thou hast said.
Amen.
If we don't do it, what's going to happen? Well, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 4, it says, and it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. 1 Kings, men of God fed by the ravens. Wow. God told him to go to the brook. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 1 Kings 17, verse 3, get thee thence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. The ravens were the dirtiest bird. They were unclean. But God used those ravens to feed his man.
Amen.
I tell our people back home, if we don't do our responsibility as believers and Christians to take care of the men of God, and when God starts to feed them, use the raven to feed them, you and me, we are going to be in trouble. We are going to be in terrible trouble, I tell them. If we are not doing our responsibility, if we are not doing our responsibility and our obligation as believers, and if we don't take care of the men of God, and if we are not thinking about missions and outreaching the world and doing our part as believers, and if God starts feeding his man with the ravens, we're going to be in trouble. And we see God's feeding his man with ravens. The unclean animal, they feed on that food. And God commanded them feed Elijah. See, they supplied flesh, protein, and bread. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. If we forget to give to missions, if we are not faithful in giving to missions, God will make a way to feed his men. And God will use ravens. And God will use the worst people. God will use people, we see them and think they're not fit. God is going to use those worst people, worst sinners. Where did the ravens get the meat and bread from? We wonder, where did they get the meat and bread from? They cannot make bread. They cannot kill an animal, get the meat, the flesh. You know what? The people were sitting down, getting their bread ready, their meal, putting everything, the meat, everything, getting ready to eat. Well, the ravens flew in, picked up their meat, took their bread, and they fly out.
That's right.
Hey, my bread, my meat. They took it out to feed the men of God. Sometimes we want to enjoy our life. We have everything. And God allows situations to arise in our life and takes everything up from us. Oh, everything I have is gone. God has his ways to take things out of our life to feed his men. I tell our people, if we fail to give to God, God will still take care of his men. But on the other hand, we'll pay the cost, we'll pay the price, the high cost of living. Back in my country, just now the recent riot and the recent chaos in my country, and I tell our people, one day you're going to realize it's going to be too late. You think that ministry, you think the work of God and reaching people is nothing. You take it for granted. But when we get our money and we just put it, we invest it in different things, and we don't think about the work of God, God's going to do something. We're going to sit back and realize, oh, if only I had done the right thing. God will feed and God will remove. God will feed his men, but God's going to remove things from our lives. Firstly, men of God is fed by ravens. Secondly, men of God fed by widow. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Firstly, he said, I commanded the ravens. Now he said, I have commanded the widow there to sustain thee. Wow. The Jewish culture, when the husband dies, they take everything out from the widow. The man's family will take everything out of the widow. The widow is left with nothing. And she struggles with life. Bible says this widow is trying to make her last meal with her son. She does not have much, but that little she had, she took that little as an opportunity to give to the man of God. It was easy to say, why me? How about others? Not me. That widow knew she had an opportunity to trust what the man of God was saying and do exactly what he was saying. Many times God uses little things to talk to us, try to show us things so that we can know that God wants us to do this. But many times we don't see those little things God is using to talk to us. And this widow knew that little she had. And God wants that little. And God's going to make a miracle out of that little. The little that is in our hands, sometimes it's not much. But when we give it to God, God's going to take that little and make a miracle out of the little. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 16, the Bible says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. Wow. Give that little and see how God works on that little. The widow had to sacrifice, but the widow also saw a miracle in her life. Sadly tonight, see, the man of God was fed by ravens. The man of God was fed by the widow. But sadly, the man of God was fed by faith. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. That's the man of God saying that. Fear not. Do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And make for thee and for thy son. That was faith in action. The man of God had faith. Not only he was fed by the ravens, not only he was fed by the widow, but he was also fed because of his faith in God. Many times I'm encouraged when I see the man of God living by faith. We have a missionary friend from Michigan, Brother Mark Halsman. He has 7 children. They're right up in the mountains. He has 2 boys, 5 girls. The eldest daughter is married to Brother Caleb Wilson. Now they're 7 in Papua New Guinea as 3rd generation missionaries. The wife, the parents, Brother Cliff Taylor, they have a daughter named Christy. Christy got married to Mark Halsman. And now they have 3rd generation. Their eldest daughter is a missionary to Papua New Guinea again. But every time they come, they stay with us. I'm down here at the capital city. They come over, they spend time, get the supply, they fly back up into the mountains. Well, that day, there was no plane coming, so he had to hitchhike. Hike down the mountain, 3 days, to arrive at the nearest place, town, government station, government town, to get transportation. It will be another 6-7 hours by vehicle. He got an ambulance. It's a Toyota Land Cruiser ambulance. He called me and said, Brother Holmes, I'm coming into town. And I timed him, and he's going to arrive around 12 o'clock midday or 1 o'clock the next morning. So I told him, tell the ambulance driver to drop you off at the police station. I'll pick you up from the police station. So I went over, I was at the police station, the ambulance came, dropped him off. I picked the missionary back at our house. We have a room, we call it the prophet chamber. So I told him, you go rest. Everything, we made the bed, everything for him. He went in, he slept. In the morning, my wife made an American breakfast. Scrambled eggs, toasted bread, baked beans, bacon, everything on the table. Got ready for the missionary to eat. The missionary had his shower, he comes over. Pastor, he looks at the food. He stopped. Tears running down his eyes. I looked at him, Brother Mark, something wrong? I said, Brother Holmes, I'm not going to eat today. My wife and my children, my family has nothing to eat today. They have nothing to eat. And I'm not going to eat when they have nothing to eat. We took all the food. I told my wife, throw everything in the trash can. I told him, what do you want now? And he said, I want to get my supply and go back to my family quickly. Well, it took him about 6-7 hours. Well, I called one of my church members. We got his Land Cruiser. We got his supply. We took off. It took us 3 hours. It took him 6-7 hours. It took us 3 hours. We took off. We went. We arrived at the airport. There's another missionary pilot, Brother Matt Allen. He was trying to fly. We called him, please, just wait. So when he was waiting, we arrived. We put the supply the family needed that afternoon for their evening dinner. We got everything packed. We put it in the plane. The rest of the cargo, we left them. The next day, they're going to get it up. The necessary item they needed that night, we packed it, put it on the plane. The plane took off. We had a lot of stories about missionaries. But seeing them, the going through battles and going through the life they're going through, sometimes you're going to break your heart. But I'm encouraged every time when I see them because of their faith. They try to be in that location, in that place. Even though it's hard for them, even though it's hard for their family, but they stay there and they serve the Lord. They know that God has put them there. They know that God has sent them for a purpose to preach the gospel to those people. They stand there even when life is hard because of their faith in God. You know what Elijah said? Make mine first and then for your son and for yourself. There was no opposition. There was no argument. She did not put her faith or her need first, but she put her faith on what the man of God said and obeyed exactly what the man of God said. Hebrews 11:6, faith is the substance of things unseen. Was her giving a blind giving? No, she was doing it knowingly without fear of that. The faith of the man of God moved the hand of God to action. We can give by faith, and we can see the result in our time. It's important to give, and knowing that God will take that little and God will use it for His glory. And I've seen missionaries going into a foreign field. The life automatically changes. There is culture shock. They try to learn the language. They try to eat their food. Sometimes it's hard on them. It takes a while. But because of their faith in God, God helps them. So they adapt into that culture so they can reach those people. That little you have is important in God's eyes. There was a man named John. They call him John Chinaman. And he is a Christian. He's excited every time. And sometimes he punches the air and says, "Praise the Lord." And there was an atheist, a man that not believe in God. He watches him all the time. And he looks at this John Chinaman. He thinks John Chinaman is crazy. So one time he looked at him and said, "John Chinaman, every time I hear you talk about heaven, you're excited. And every time you punch the air, when you go into heaven, when you get to heaven, what is the first thing you're going to do?" He asked John Chinaman. John Chinaman looked at that man and he said, "When I get into heaven, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Jesus. And I'm going to get down on my knees at Jesus' feet and I'm going to thank him for dying for me and saving my soul." He looked at him and said, "What's next? I'll go and look for the missionary that brought the gospel to my country. And I'll say, thank you for bringing the gospel to my country." He looked at him and said, "What's next? I'll go and look for people that supported the missionary financially. And I'll thank them for supporting that missionary to preach the gospel to my country. And I got saved." Pastor, there will be people like John Chinaman, people you have no idea about in heaven. They're going to come and shake hands with you. Say, "Thank you for supporting that missionary. Thank you for giving that little to that missionary. That missionary preached the gospel and I got saved." That little you have is enough for God. And God is so big that he can take that little, he can make that little into a miracle. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the message. Lord, help us to trust you tonight with the little you have given us. And Lord, help us now. I commit this invitation to your hands now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.